We are joined this morning on our program by Erica D'Arcangelo, who's with the Narconon Arrowhead Agency, and we're going to talk a little bit about prescription drug dangers. Erica, good morning.
Good morning.
Prescription drugs. Sounds pretty innocent, but there are a lot of those sitting around. They're very available, especially for young people. Are there a lot of folks who abuse prescription drugs?
There are. The National Institute on Drug Abuse just reported that we have about 12 million people every single year who are misusing these drugs, and 8 million of those are taking painkillers, and then we also have abuse of other prescriptions, and a really large number of those are teens.
Well, aren't prescription drugs kind of the most common gateway drugs for a lot of young people?
They definitely are. What happens a lot of the times is a person will innocently enough try a prescription, or somebody will give it to them, and they sometimes will think because these drugs are legally prescribed, because a lot of people take them, that they're safe and they're not addictive, and that is the beginning of a substance abuse problem right there. It's just having the conception that they're not dangerous or addictive and starting to take the drugs.
Pretty much anything with the RX symbol on it probably has the ability to become addictive.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, any drug, you have drugs that have really good medical uses and that you have to take. I mean, if you're ill, you have to take an antibiotic. There's just certain, you know, reasons why you have to take them, but the drugs all have side effects, and a lot of the drugs are addictive.
And we become dependent very easily on these types of things. Are there certain drugs, certain prescription drugs, Erica, that are more commonly abused than others?
There are. Prescription painkillers are the number one drugs of abuse. We have 8 million people every year who are misusing these drugs, and these are substances like Oxycontin, hydrocodone, oxycodone, Vicodin, all those types of drugs.
And in some cases, those drugs are not necessarily meant for, let's say, for example, some of these drugs are prescribed for an adult that might weigh, say, 200-plus pounds. What happens when something like that gets in the hands of, like, a young child who might be just, you know, maybe, say, 10 years old and is very small?
Well, I mean, you're going to have risk of overdose. You're going to have health issues. You're going to have the person's going to feel a very strong effect from these drugs. The other thing that happens is, you take the drug once, you feel very, very strong effects. You keep taking it, you start to build drug tolerance. That means you have to take more and more of the same drug to get the exact same effect.
Sure. Is it just as simple, Erica, as people going in and getting them out of the drug cabinet in the bathroom? Is that what it is? Is that how they're getting hold of these things?
The medicine cabinet is the number one way people get and abuse prescriptions. We also have, you know, pill mills, online pharmacies, but friends and family's medicine cabinets are the places that people get them relatively.
So how do we keep them safe?
Well, there's a couple things you can do. If you're taking a prescription, put it in a safe place, follow the directions, and finish the prescription if that's what the directions say. If you have some left over, the local law enforcement agencies have safe drop-off stations, and you want to contact them and you want to drop off your unused prescriptions to them.
Well, and I know different states are different, but I know here in Iowa at different times we have had programs set up at different pharmacies where folks can come in and actually dispose of their extra prescription medications and things. Probably a wise thing to do. Is it just a matter of just getting rid of them safely? Can you just, you know, kind of toss these things, dump them down the toilet or something?
You don't want to dump them down the toilet because you don't want them to get in the water supply, and you definitely don't want to throw them just in the trash because someone can, you know, get them and take them and abuse them.
Yeah. You know, sometimes labels wear off and things, too. You know, all kinds of dangers. If something's not marked properly and you're not sure what it is, probably best to get rid of it, huh?
Absolutely. That's what you want to do. Because you don't know, you know, the prescription may go bad. You may not know what effects it might have. It could get into the wrong person's hands. So be responsible if you're taking something. If you have some stuff in the house, use this time and go into your medicine cabinet and clean it out.
Yeah, we could all tend to do that. I would certainly think we should be using those prescriptions out to term anyway. They prescribe a certain amount for a reason. But sometimes we have some of those left over. And, you know, and sometimes there's the temptation maybe later on to take them at another time. Maybe I'll just hang on to them in case I need them again. Well, sometimes these things lose their strength. They lose their ability to be able to do what they were supposed to do in the first place. But that doesn't mean they're safe now either.
No, definitely not. I mean, the drugs, they are addictive for a reason. Somebody takes them and you have a painkiller that has very similar effects to the drug heroin. And the person feels euphoria. They feel better when they're on the drug. When they come off the drug, they feel depressed. They feel anxiety and they want to start taking more of it. So you really have to be careful with your medication.
You bet. What should we look for to see if someone maybe is abusing prescription drugs?
what you want to look for is a change in eating and sleeping habits, change of physical appearance. With drugs like opioids and painkillers, you're going to see constrictor or very small pupils or dark parts of the eyes. The person's going to be very lethargic. They're going to be going through sleep and wakeful periods. They may be forgetful or confused. With stimulants, you may see someone who can't eat, they can't sleep, they have a lot of energy, they feel paranoid. And then after that, you may see a crash where they're sleeping for days and they're eating and they can't really do anything because they have no energy.
Now, some of these things, Erica, sound very much like using other drugs, too. How do we know the difference, or does it really matter?
Well, you know, it matters to a degree, but a drug is a drug at the end of the day. What you want to do is you want to look for, as far as prescriptions abuse, you know, empty pill bottles, doctor shopping, someone saying they have an illness or an injury that they may not have. With illicit drug abuse, you want to look for different paraphernalia, you know, powders in a baggie. You want to look for razor blades, straws, rolled up dollar bills. And even with prescriptions, you may see those things. Some people will inject prescriptions. Some people will snort or smoke them.
Well, it's interesting. Now, you can only go so far with what's in the medicine cabinet. So is that just a matter of getting started with a certain drug, getting that habit, and then trying to go out and kind of feed that habit with something else then? How once things are gone from our medicine cabinets, do we continue to get a hold of these things?
Well, what the trends are and what the studies are showing is that, you know, with prescription painkiller addiction, you have a connection to heroin, especially with young people. They're starting out with prescriptions. They're taking Vicodin or oxycodone or OxyContin, and the next thing you know, they're gatewaying into heroin. With drugs like Adderall or Ritalin, people are taking and abusing those at the high school, college level, and then they're moving on to drugs like cocaine or methamphetamine.
Wow. Now, do you treat prescription drug addiction any differently than you would anything else, like marijuana, heroin, meth, something like that?
You know, with prescription addiction, you really have to make sure that when the person comes off the drugs that it's medically safe, especially drugs like benzodiazepines. These are things like Xanax or Valium. There is a seizure risk. Not only that, but antidepressant drugs, there's a lot of risks, the risk of suicide, seizures, a lot of other problems with coming off of antidepressants. So with those drugs, you want to make sure that a medical professional takes a look at the person, really gets the drug history, and determines if they need a medical detox to wind them down off the drugs.
I suppose the main point is if you notice there are some issues and something needs to be done, just get them help.
Exactly. That's the main thing. Get yourself educated. Know what the paraphernalia looks like. Know what it looks like when someone's high on the drugs, and also just signs of addiction. And if you notice that someone is exhibiting these, you have to get them help. You have to get them to talk to a counselor and go into a center.
Do we treat it any differently from our perspective if we notice there might be a problem? Do we treat it differently if it's, say, an adult as opposed to a teenager or something?
I think in both instances you have to act fast. Sometimes with adults, people will say, well, they can go when they're ready. But, you know, you may have an adult that's so addicted that they can't see how severe it is, and they end up killing themselves or having an overdose or having another problem. So I would say no matter who it is, you want to act fast, you want to get them in contact with a counselor, and you want to make sure you get them into a program.
It's really difficult to reason with someone when they're really not, in some cases, able to be able to come to a reasonable decision because of the effect of those drugs.
Absolutely, and you're going to see that. 9 times out of 10, the person isn't going to want help. They're going to fight about it. They're going to lie. They're going to deny how bad their addiction is. But what you want to do is at least get them to talk to a counselor. Intervention services are also key, but you don't want to let it go. The more you let it go, the worse the addiction becomes.
Do you see a lot of these types of situations come through at Narcanon?
There's definitely situations where people don't want to go into treatment. I would say 9 times out of 10, 8 times out of 10, the person who's addicted is not in favor of treatment. Now, once they get to treatment, they start to dry out. Then they're thankful and they want to help, but on drugs, the only thought is how to get more drugs, how to get more money for more drugs, and how to continue to use.
Got to get that clear head, and it all starts by trying to find the right type of help, and they can do that online, on the phone. There are a lot of different ways.
Absolutely. You can actually call in toll-free. The number is 1-800-468-6933. You can go to a site called stopaddiction.com. For anyone on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/stopaddiction or Narcanon Arrowhead.
Very good. A lot of different ways to find out what you need, and making that call, checking it out on the website doesn't commit you to anything. You just need to take that first step and educate yourself so you can move forward with that loved one. Erica, thanks a lot for your time and continued success.
Okay, thank you.